if you'd all rise and do the flag salute with me, I appreciate it. It's over there in the corner. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We have a consent agenda. Can I get a motion, Connie, to accept the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we're down to general business. Lisa, we're going to talk about our audit, right?
We are.
Okay, let's talk about our Port of Tacoma audit for 2016.
Excellent.
One room down, Fred.
They moved you to Beijing.
We had someone from the public show up.
That's right.
In more ways than one, right?
That's right. So good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for having me here. I'm Lisa Wilson. I'm the audit partner that oversaw the audit for the Port of Tacoma, and we'll be talking about those results today. So we're going to start off with a summary slide, which gives a high-level look at where we landed for the audit this year. We issued the financial statements last Friday, the 24th of March, which was a little bit ahead of what our plan schedule was. And for all practical purposes, we were happy with that date. It was nice to get everything wrapped up. We do not have any material weaknesses in internal control to discuss with the committee today. And we did identify one significant deficiency related to controls over the accumulation of contract commitments. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about that here, only because I want to give you a little more flavor around that.
I think this is the appropriate place for it also.
Excellent. So one of the things that we do as a part of the audit process is we audit not only the numbers that are on the balance sheet and income statement of the port, but we also audit the numbers that go into the footnote disclosure. And one of the things that, one of the disclosure items in the financial statement is the amount of contractual commitments that the port will have to fund going forward. And we get a schedule from the port team that shows us what those contract commitments are, and we audit that schedule to ensure its accuracy. So we got the contract commitment schedule from the team and made a selection and found that there were a couple errors in the information that was provided to us. And the information that's provided to us shows the original contract amount, what's been spent year to date, and then what the remaining contract amount was. And we found a couple of errors. And unfortunately, one of the errors we found was in a fairly significant contract. So it's hard to justify that you don't need to do more testing. So we sent that back. We talked to Darren and the team about it. And then we sent it back to the team that was responsible for preparing that. And the schedule was reworked. So let me give you a little bit of flavor about how that happened. I think then Darren and Aaron might have some thoughts about that as well. But right now, the port is using a purchase order system to track contract commitments, and it requires a lot of manual manipulation because it's not simply designed for tracking this type of information. So it requires the team to make sure that not only the contract amount is entered correctly, but then any payments on that contract, any amendments on that contract are all entered correctly and manually so that the end result is we entered into a contract of $10 million, we spent $8 million, the remaining commitment is $2 million.
So three or four opportunities for an error.
Right. Or a missed one. Gosh, we forgot to pull this contract or whatnot. So when you have manual entry of any information, the risk of error is just higher. So the original schedule that we were provided incorrectly reported outstanding commitments by about $7 million. We got the updated schedule. We were able to audit that, and it was accurately reported the second time. So a couple of thoughts. This $7 million doesn't mean that anything recorded in the financial statement was inaccurate. It means a disclosure item within the financial statement footnotes was inaccurately reported. Why does that matter? Well, part of what is reported in that footnote is future cash commitments to the port. And so as a reader, you want to, if we thought it was X and we have this much cash and then it's Y, you know, that might get a reader to a different conclusion. So that's why it's relevant. So what is the fix going forward? And I think Aaron probably, or Darren has a response to that. But at the end of the day, the system currently being used really isn't probably the best system for tracking and accounting for contract commitments. And Darren, I don't know if you want to step in now, or Aaron.
Is that system the same as we use for our financial? Whose system do we use?
So it is the Maximo system, and we use that system for all purchase orders and for managing our maintenance work orders and storeroom inventory. So we before, prior to completely utilizing the Maximo system to track these open commitments, we used a manual log, kind of like a checkbook, where you put the original contract amount, and as you pay invoices, you decrement that. We have continued to use that because we knew we needed some type of verification of the Maximo system, and staff felt comfortable continuing to use what they call the recaps. What we will do in the future on a quarterly basis, and we actually have already begun this process, is to reconcile those recaps manually to the reports that come out of the Maximo system that produce this commitment report. Based on that work, we should be able to isolate either reporting errors coming out of the system or manual process errors that we have not identified, and make those appropriate corrections so that the report is correct. So we will do this on a quarterly basis, and again at the end of the year, and before we produce this report again for next audit, we will have 100% assurance that it is accurate.
Aaron, my understanding when we did the service agreements back and forth and where the work could best be done, am I remembering correctly or not correctly that we have a service agreement with Seattle to do our contracts?
So these
is that yes or no?
We do have a service agreement. The Port of Tacoma has service agreements with the Northwest Seaport Alliance. I got to remember
what
company we're
okay.
talking about. and so the commitments here do not include those service agreements. These are mostly construction contract commitments, professional services commitments, and personal service commitments.
Which are done inside with only Port of Tacoma staff?
Correct.
That are not Port of, we are not, I don't get the separation. If we have a service agreement with the Alliance to do our contracts, why isn't this part of
it? I think it might be clear if I explain that the service agreement with the Port of Seattle is actually for the construction engineering work. And behind the scenes, they're doing the procurement that supports that body of work.
The question we have on the table is the $7.3 million are not documented properly. So it's not an Alliance issue or any kind of an issue. It's a notation issue. And what you're saying is we'll keep our, I just want to repeat, make sure I understood what you're saying. We're going to keep our current system, and on a quarterly basis, we're going to go back and check it, which we haven't been doing, right?
I'm not going to say we haven't been doing. Obviously, we need to do a better job because we missed $7.3 million. Oh. So I think there's going to be a concerted effort to do it regularly and also to do, you know, a complete job.
About the question.
Don, I just really do want to pursue the question that I had, if you'd allow me, please. What I don't understand is the separation of contract work. Is it separated into Tacoma people doing some of it and some of it being done through the service agreement? Is that what you're telling me?
So let's see if I can explain this. So there are Port of Tacoma employees that are doing contracting for the Port of Tacoma, and they are doing contracting on behalf of the Northwest Seaport Alliance if there is a construction project in the South Harbor or if they need a personal or professional services agreement. That's the scope of work that is done by employees that are currently in the contracts and procurement department for the Port of Tacoma. That make it any clearer?
Well, let's get through our audit. We'll come on back and ask this question. But let's get through the audit phase first. And the question we have on the table before we start another subject is the $7.3 million. Now, your answer was, I have this ledger, and I'm going to go through this ledger on a quarterly basis. But what I heard also in the answer is that has been our practice, and it got us through this problem. So going through it on a quarterly basis with more emphasis, how do we know that's going to work? Because I'm sure we just talked about what a great accounting department it has, and I think we do have a great accounting department, but there's a lot of things going on. So how is that going to be the answer?
So to put this in perspective, they performed a sample of 12 selections that they made, and two of them were incorrect. One of them was approximately $7 million. So,
which is not de minimis.
It's not de minimis, but from
but it was reflective of a very small portion of our sample, but a big dollar amount.
So I was going to ask, what's the 7.3 is what percent of the total that we're talking about?
Right.
So it's a very small percentage. It might be 1 or 2%. I understand that. But go ahead.
So, I think the difference in doing it quarterly versus doing it at the end of the year.
Well, you weren't doing it quarterly before.
No, we were not.
Oh, that's
we were
difference.
Just doing
oh,
it.
Oh, okay.
No.
I misunderstood. I thought you were doing it quarterly before also.
I'm sorry. No.
So that's the change. I'm going to do it quarterly so I don't have so much to review and I can do a better job maybe catching it.
Right. And we can identify, again, if we are inputting information into the system incorrectly or the reports aren't reflective of the proper amounts, we can catch that right away and make the appropriate changes to the reports.
So Darren, Lisa said that it's much more, it's much easier to make a mistake like that when you do manual stuff. I have voted to spend millions of dollars on automation in the port. Why isn't this part of that? Why are we using a pencil to do this?
Well, we're not necessarily using a pencil. I think to be maybe more specific, when we are using a system that is not specifically designed for that application, there are there are specific fields, specific methods to populate that data. And if for some reason, as it's not populated exactly the same way in the same process, in the same steps, sometimes, apparently, this happened.
Is this done within our in our IT system, or is this done separate from that?
It's done within our IT system. Maximo is one of our systems.
And is RSM satisfied with the answer?
Darren and I have talked about this at great length, and specifically as we were testing it and understanding what perhaps caused the problem. I do think it, with the additional oversight, that should be sufficient. And probably some training, as Darren mentioned, getting things into the right fields initially versus having to go back and correct.
Well, every system has its issues.
You're never going to find a perfect system. So.
Okay, thank you very much. Connie, any other?
Well, I do have a problem with it because we have a lot of complex systems going on. This, to me, being no accountant or anything, but I do keep a checkbook, one of the simpler ones, the total is X, you spend Y, the outcome should be a correct Z. If you make an amendment, you add it in. I don't get how the system cannot be adapted to do that.
On one of the questions, it's like balancing the checkbook and you're a penny different from the bank. That's an imbalance. And so that gets the order of magnitude of the issue. The other issue is all computer systems are purchased computer systems, and they all have their issues and require workarounds because they don't cover every aspect of your business. And so what you're doing now is, when I look at an annualized basis, I have a lot of items to check. If I look at them on a quarterly basis, the task is much easier, and I can get that job done, and I can do it at a pace where I'm more secure. Because even if we change out our IS systems, we could easily have the same kind of a problem.
And I do think it's important to note that this is the same process and tool that has been in place since prior to when I got here. So I think the added complexity of the Northwest Seaport Alliance, we also had some turnover in our contracts and purchasing department. Yep. And when you have manual processes, these all kind of collided. And quite frankly, I think this adjustment was on a major capital project. So $7 million to a, you know, when you got an $89 million project may not stand out to someone who's new. So I think that's where we've looked at, we've been managing through this manual till we look to the future and have maybe a, because really it's about the process. If we have a better tool in the future, we'll migrate. But I would say this was an instance where everything kind of collided. So what we're going to do is we're going to do the reconciliation more frequently and, you know, to ensure that until we have a better solution that we don't repeat the mistake.
Correct. If the issue doesn't show up again next year,
okay. That's right. Mm-hmm. And I suppose looking ahead, if it did show up again next year, might mean it's time for it to look for a new system. Right. Yeah. I think Aaron's summary was fine.
And I would also say this is a very small level of functionality relative to the other things that we have Maximo doing. And we just, it's kind of a, I don't know if I want to call it a tweener, but in terms of how do you really manage that, we haven't had a better solution. So.
And it hasn't been necessary as of yet.
Correct.
Yeah, I think to add to that, I don't think we've had a better cost-effective solution.
Yes.
You know, we haven't crossed the threshold where it was worth the investment to invest into another system to handle this process.
And every new system causes your problems also for a while.
Right, exactly.
We don't want to do that now. Okay. Thank you.
And so if the reconciliation process on a quarterly basis fixes it, then I think that you can move on.
Thank you.
All right. All right, scope of work. So you hired us to form an opinion on the fairness of the financial statements. As a part of that process, if you remember, we do look at internal controls to develop and design our audit procedures to make sure they're appropriate. We don't test 100%. I know I've said that to you before, but just as a reminder. And we do perform the audit in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted. So that helps us further design our audit procedures. So this is going to be a quick slide, but we started the audit last fall. We did our interim work in the late fall. And we wrapped up all of our final testing the late February into early March. And as I mentioned initially, we issued the report last Friday. I'm going to talk about the specific things that are kind of different this year. Obviously, we look at significant estimates as it relates to environmental liabilities. We would look for any unusual transactions, future commitments, as we talked about just briefly before. The biggest unusual activity this year is the activity related to the Northwest Seaport Alliance and the related investment. The Port of Tacoma records that as a joint venture. So just to give you sort of a high-level understanding of what that is, the port made its initial contributions into the Seaport Alliance and recorded an asset. And then as activity is recorded on the Seaport Alliance side, they recognize an increase to that asset for the net income that gets allocated to the Port of Tacoma, which is 50% of whatever the Seaport Alliance earns. And then they reduce that asset by the amount of cash that is distributed from the Seaport Alliance back to the home ports, in this case, the Port of Tacoma. So at the end of the day, as we get a little bit further, we'll talk about the balance sheet and where that falls. But at the end of the day, that net asset is what the port's investment is in the ownership of the Seaport Alliance, okay? But it's going to change how the financial statements look on the Port of Tacoma side because not so much on the balance sheet, but the income statement's going to look a little bit different this year. Yeah. So we alluded to this already, but the significant transactions this year were the joint venture accounting. And probably more significant than just the accounting side of it, this accounting side of the joint venture accounting is not complicated, but there was a great deal of discussion and communication about the presentation and the disclosure of that, specifically as it relates to how do we best describe it so that the users of the financial statements can look at the Port of Tacoma financial statements, and although they look a little bit differently this year, they can understand what's driving those differences.
Because the real issue is to show what... Because 85% of the Port of Tacoma is in the Alliance,
right?
Which leaves 15%.
Right.
So what does 15% of the Port of Tacoma actually do from a financial standpoint? Then you add on the Alliance, and then you take the below-the-item issues of debt and capital investments.
That's correct. And the other new item this year was the related party activity. So we have receivables and payables between the Port of Tacoma and the Northwest Seaport Alliance related to either distributions coming back from the Alliance or capital contributions primarily coming into the Alliance, and some expense reimbursements as well. So clearly that was a significant part of our audit process this year. There were a couple of new accounting standards that were adopted this year, and I'm not going to get into the specifics of those. Most of those were housekeeping, some updated wording in our footnote and how things are described. Nothing as significant as what we've seen over the last couple of years when we had major adjustments to the financial statements. And the other significant transaction this year was related to the bond refundings that occurred in the early part of 2016 and in September of 2016, and then some issuance of new bonds. And one of the underlying swap arrangements was terminated as well as a part of all that process. Yes, lots of movement on the debt, the bond side. None of which were super complicated. You've done it before, but significant numbers nonetheless. So as we look at the financial information that we summarized here, as you can see, the thing that pops out to you is the investment in joint venture. And just as a reminder, these dollars are in thousands, so remember you to add the zeros at the end. But the investment in joint venture is $66 million at the end of fiscal year 2016. And just remember, this is the cash that went in, or the assets that were contributed, net of any assets that have cash that has come back to the port.
I'd like to make a point for the public as a whole, because we've done a good job this last year, because I think we're close to 2% in return on assets. So even though we make $35 million, it costs $1.3 billion to do that. So that's in over the last 10 years, we haven't made passbook savings, if you want to count the value of an investment. And everybody talks cash flow, but if you don't have a profit on the bottom line, you will soon run out of cash also.
Right.
So you need both.
You need both. Mm-hmm. The other thing that may jump out at you is the significant increase in long-term investments. The most significant component of this is some of the proceeds that you had from your debt financing you haven't spent yet, so it's technically considered restricted for a specific purpose. So it's not available for your normal cash flow, which would be sitting primarily up in current assets.
A number of investment in joint venture, that's money from Port of Tacoma to the Alliance. That's not the portion coming back.
It's the net of that activity, Connie. So that when the asset was originally recorded, and I'm just going to use round numbers, the port contributed
X
amount. We'll say $20 million. Yep. So that was the initial asset balance. The Alliance earned money during the year, we'll say, of $10 million. Yep. The port got $5 million of that back. So that also increases the asset. What decreases that asset is the actual cash coming back from the Alliance into the Port of Tacoma. So this is the net of all of the activity for 2016 related to the Seaport Alliance.
Okay, so is this where I can ask my question, which is before the Alliance, our annual, that bottom line of revenue would be X. Now that bottom line depends on what we get back from the Alliance, right?
That's correct.
What number is that? Is that this number?
Let me go forward a couple of slides.
I was thinking the income statement, which is in a couple of slides, is probably the best place to look at that.
Yeah.
Last place. Yeah,
and actually, I think, unless you had something that you wanted to add here, Darren.
Well, I think I just wanted to try to clarify the $66 million of investment in joint venture. So at the end of 2016, the total amount that the port invested cash-wise, and we also contributed $9 million in non-cash work-in-process projects was $62.5 million. So that means that at the end of the year, the investment grew by about $4 million. And that's net of the net income that was earned by the Seaport Alliance and the cash. But it was a growth from the amount of cash that was initially contributed.
That would be a capital increase, right?
Well, not necessarily, but what I'm trying to point out is that the port initially invested $62 million, and now the value is 66, it grew, it didn't shrink,
right.
I guess
yeah.
is the point I'm trying to make.
So it was either cash or something tangible.
So on the, we'll go through one more slide, Connie, and then we'll get to the slide, I think, where we can address your question more completely. So the liabilities and net position side of the balance sheet, the most significant change you'll see here is in the long-term debt line. It's up about $100 million related to the new financing that was secured this year and the related entries associated with that. If you remember last year, the port adopted the pension liability standard. Yep. Related to the state pension that they participate in. So we saw a little bit of a increase in that liability as well. All right. And I'm not necessarily glossing over everything else. If there's any other question, I'm just trying to point out the significant things.
I think this is the important.
Because I think this is kind of where you're going to see the important things. So last year, the operating revenue line was included all activities of the port, including so prior to the Seaport Alliance. So what you see this year, the $23 million top line revenue is everything that was retained by the port. The almost $62 million was the joint venture income that was earned. The port's 50% interest earned.
It was half of that 131 or whatever.
That's correct.
Yes.
It was about $131 million of profit earned by the Seaport Alliance, of which the Port of Tacoma picks up half of that.
And the operating expenses of $12 million, does that represent the operating expenses of the Port of Tacoma only?
Is operating expenses of the Port of Tacoma only. So in that $61 million number, Don, is the net, right? Because it's going to show whatever expenses hit the Alliance side, net of the revenue.
In other words, the Port of Tacoma last year made $11 million as a Port of Tacoma.
Say that again?
The Port of Tacoma had revenue of $23 million, expended $12 million, so it made $11 million.
On that standalone revenue.
I think it's important for the people who understand the Port of Tacoma, its financial situation as a pure single entity.
Correct. And I think then you can, if you look at just the net operating income number, that really tells you what the growth was year over year.
Yeah.
Even though the buckets are different.
And to be clear, that's operating income. Yeah. It doesn't include the non-op.
It doesn't include debt or anything else like
right.
that. Yeah.
Right.
So it's a. We used to print that number, which I totally objected to, because it doesn't represent the port. The bottom number does.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll ask the question then, and I know all of the figures aren't right there to answer it completely, but that $61 million, how does that compare to what we would have earned by Port of Tacoma activity on its own?
I'm not sure if I can answer that very well.
She would know that because you don't know what that would be in reality.
I would say the basis for forming the alliance, once we form the alliance, we're jointly sharing. So I don't know that I'm prepared to answer that question, but what I would say is we built that first budget of the alliance. And we beat that first budget. I mean, to me, that's your ideal measure of this transition is in year one, we had anticipated, I think, operating income of approximately $110 million. Yeah, we beat budget in the Northwest Seaboard Alliance by $20 million.
Right, and to the 131, I guess.
Correct.
Right, okay, and I hear all of that. Yeah. What I'm trying, I'm a simple person, and I really wonder if there is a simple answer. Before the alliance, the Port of Tacoma had a bottom line revenue, or rather an operating income revenue of considerable.
It fluctuated by year. I mean, if you want to look just year over year, it was nearly $20 million, and then it grew to $34 million.
We've had three million years.
I would say it's not consistently been $19 million every year. I don't know that we're in a position to say what would it have been, and I think the purpose of forming the alliance was to jointly share those costs.
Well, let me see if I can help you, because the first year I think is easier to answer. So let's say we had the Port of Tacoma run separately like nothing had changed, and we have what we currently have now. What we currently have now is we have $34 million at the bottom line. Well, the only thing that would change that is if we did significant hiring. We made significant capital investments, expenses that we wouldn't have otherwise, or if we got into a capital debate with Seattle and we all spent money ridiculously. So none of that took place.
Right.
So I would say if we are totally independent, the only thing that would change that number, it would be for the worse, because we'd get into a capital expense competition with Seattle, as long as because now we're going to hire up, we're going to do things. Going forward, it's going to be less because we're going to hire a staff and we're going to have those expenses. Whereas the first year out, we didn't have any of those expenses. So if we were separate as a Port of Tacoma, we'd still be at $34 million unless we did something else that caused that problem, except for some, John.
the only thing I would add is that the unknown about the competitiveness of the home port of Seattle and Tacoma from a business revenue standpoint.
Yeah.
And I want to place an emphasis on what I think I heard you say, Commissioner Johnson, that is that It's probably, that question is a really good question, and it's very difficult to answer because there are all sorts of assumptions based around that. And it's going to be more difficult the further out we go because it gets
can't measure the stuff.
Less clear what would have happened if we were the home port of Tacoma.
You can't measure the what if, yeah.
Yeah, and I've asked myself that question as well because we want to believe that this was a great decision, and we believe it is, and we can point to the many examples that you all have highlighted, and it is really difficult and will become even more difficult into the future to answer what sure. it would have looked like otherwise.
All I'm trying to do is I'm asked frequently, not every minute, but frequently, are you better off? So I will ask you, are we better off? Not philosophically, but bottom line.
If I look, and we don't have the numbers here, but if I were to look at just the Port of Tacoma's budget for 2016 and its financial performance, my answer would be we beat our budget.
My answer would be yes, we are. Because it has nothing to do with the budget. It has everything to do with the competitive nature of the business.
So when somebody goes and fact check that's smarter than I am, I don't want them throwing it back in my face and saying, but do this and
they
that.
They can't fact check.
And, you know, we deal with numbers, and we deal with comparative numbers. So while it's complex, and I agree with John entirely, the further out we get, it's impossible because all of the factors then come in way different ways. You can't do it's apples and oranges, but it's still for this year apples.
And if I may just add, as we go forward, the importance will be the discipline we have to good business decisions. That will be the measure of success for us. And so we could say, as an example this year, yeah, we're better off. The home port of Tacoma is better off because we moved forward with the next phase of the Central Peninsula and half the capital investment came from
the other port.
Mm-hmm. That may be a swing the other direction on the next major capital investment. What's critically important to our success holistically is that we make sound business decisions. Then we will be better off.
And that'll be a constant test.
Yes.
And it all comes down to the bottom line.
Please.
All right, so we'll move on to the summarized cash flow information. So this shows at the end of the day, did we increase cash from the basic operations of the port, or did cash go down, and how did we spend that cash? So cash activity for the period was essentially flat. It went up about $367,000. But how that money was spent was much different this year than perhaps what we've seen in the last couple of years. Cash provided by or used in operating activities was actually down pretty substantially from the prior year. The biggest component of this was expenses related to the Seaport Alliance. So they're just in a different place and funded in a slightly different way. Cash provided by capital and related financing shows cash provided by because of the refinancing of the bond. So you got more money in the bank than what you had before related to the newly issued debt. And then the investing activity is accumulation of not only reinvestment into investments of the port, but also the cash distributions coming back from the Seaport Alliance. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag this year that's a little unusual year over year. But still a very positive cash position at $3 million at the end of the year. Anytime you see that number go up, I think that's a positive.
Good news.
Good news. All right, so just a last couple things to share with the group, and then I'm open to any questions that you might have. I talked about this in the beginning, but just a reminder that we do follow generally accepted auditing standards as we perform our audit. And we have an obligation to report to this committee anything that we find the results of audit results of our process. But certainly, you have a responsibility to be managing the process, the operational process of the port during the year. At the end of the audit, we do request that management provide certain representations to us that one, the information they provided us was accurate, they were honest in their communications with us, and disclosed all relevant information to us. We received that representation letter without any issue or concern. Significant difficulties, if any, encountered during the audit, there weren't significant deficiencies or difficulties as it relates to the transactional part of the audit. What was difficult this year was the nuances of the alliance and sort of understanding on both sides how that all works. So it wasn't that we didn't get along or we had disputes with management, but it required a great deal of communication. And I will say the accounting, Port of Tacoma accounting team in general is outstanding. They were quick to call us when issues came up, quick to bring it to our attention well before we even started the audit to make sure that they were going down the right path. And we really, I felt like didn't have any holdups at the end of the audit because of all of the pre-work done on that. So kudos to the team. The other thing we look at is obviously any disagreements with management. There were no such things. And we didn't have any major issues discussed prior to being retained as the auditor. The other thing we look at is as it relates to the disclosures and the accounting practices to make sure that they're consistent with what we see in other entities, which they are. And there weren't significant changes to those accounting policies, but we look at those as it relates to if the business is evolving, is there a reason or a need to change some of those accounting policies? There were none other than the joint venture accounting that we've already talked about. Internal control-related matter, I talked about the significant deficiency already at the beginning of the presentation. We didn't identify any other control deficiencies that need to be communicated here. And there were no audit adjustments made. We were provided a couple of adjustments by the accounting team, primarily because we started our audit a little quicker than they were probably ready for us. So we had some things that were getting corrected.
Management technique.
That's a new management technique. But nothing that was identified by us. And even though as I mentioned in the beginning, the significant deficiency, that was disclosure. That wasn't anything that impacted the numbers on the financial statements that were originally provided to us. A couple other things just coming down the pike for future reference. There's a couple of new standards that are coming out that I've listed here. Probably the one that is the meatiest of all three of them is asset retirement obligations under GASB 83. It's not applicable yet, but it requires some different assessments on if you're retiring an asset, which might be relevant down the road as you continue to evaluate the use of your assets. And
does that mean bigger write-offs?
Well, it may or may not, depending on how that analysis goes. Yeah, you don't often retire large, significant assets out of your operating part of your practice or your business, so I wouldn't anticipate it be a huge accounting adjustment.
You'd have to be replacing a crane early or doing a terminal job early, right, for the most part.
And you've done that in the past. It accelerates the expense that you might have already anticipated.
Does.
Correct. And then the last couple of things that are wrapped up, the state auditors will come in and they actually review our work papers and then they start their annual audit. And the port team is working on the annual report as well as the CAFR, the comprehensive annual report, which we review.
They come in and look at your stuff too or just the auditor's papers?
They look at ours first to help plan their audit and then they actually do their own testing at the port offices, which I think is probably scheduled for
September.
Okay. Yeah, later in the summer. So,
you notice we never get out of this process.
It's a continuous. we call that a continuous audit. Yeah. So
it feels like that.
Yeah, that's right. So that Don was everything I had to present. Are there any questions that you might have of me?
Yeah, I just want to thank you for everything Connie, did you have some more questions about the alliance and the accounting, how that worked back and forth?
I don't here, and if I do, I'll check with Aaron or Darren because. I'm still, I still have some questions about the contracting stuff. Yeah.
Any comments?
Only good ones. Because, I've been now, this is my 20th year as a commissioner, and in all those 20 years, we have never had a significant finding, to my knowledge. And that's pretty darn good, Darren.
Yeah, again, it's staff and the leadership, I would like to thank everyone in the port that has contributed to this success, and specifically, to the folks in the accounting and finance departments that have worked, so diligently, not only on the Port of Tacoma's books, but also on the Northwest Seaport Alliance's books, and. Also to Lisa Wilson and her staff, it was the first year for them too. And it was a very, very challenging year for us.
Yeah.
And we are so delighted to have gotten through it. without any findings.
It's been tough. I think you all need a new puppy.
Well, I think one of the key elements is, and one of the reasons why I supported RSM to begin with, is the relationship between a good accounting group and the auditor is just, you can't say that strong enough that it's absolutely key to your long-term success. And I think it's important for a first year with this thing, for people to know each other, be familiar with being able to ask questions and go forward and come up with positive reviews, no matter what the news is, be able to get to the proper answer. And so that relationship is, it's for the public's purpose, that's not just at the end of the year for an audit, that's all year long. If you do something new, you always call your auditor and say, what do you think of this issue? And you get an agreement before you actually do it. That's how you get clean audits, because you don't want a disagreement at the end of the day, because it's already done. And so that relationship is really key to being successful over the long haul, and it's much appreciated.
And, just one more thing for Lisa. Thank you for taking on this job. I think it was courageous of your company, because it was complicated. And I don't,
you know,
when you're making all the new rules and there's nothing to refer to, it takes time, and we appreciate that.
Thank you. You're appreciate that.
Give yeah. Leanne our best.
Thank you. Oh, I will.
She's going through this process. There's no public comments here because nobody from the public is here. Anybody else want to make a comment? John?
Just a finer point on what Darren said. I observed the accounting department at the Home Port of Tacoma / Seaport Alliance this past year, and there was a tremendous amount of extra work that was involved in making this a successful year from an accounting standpoint and audit standpoint. And on behalf of the leadership of the port, they deserve extra thanks and gratitude for all the great work they did. So Aaron, you, Darren, your team has done just great work. So thank you.
A year later, they're still talking to each other, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're still talking to me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, with anything else, we are adjourned. Thank you
Super.
Very much.
Yeah.